Good morning. I know we're a little far apart, but we could do a little better than that. I heard two voices. Good morning. Much better. I think this is, if I remember right, I think Miss Sandra was telling me this is 8 weeks we've been in the parking lot. 8 weeks. Hard to believe. Getting harder to remember what it's like inside at this point. But I do recommend you take a look around inside. They've finished the upstairs of the damage that was done. It looks great. It has that new carpet smell where they've replaced all the carpet. But thankful for that. I also think we ought to take a moment and say thank you to God for this good weather. Now, I know it's been a little warm, but we haven't had to deal with any rain, anything like that. And I think that's been kind of amazing to think about. We have a lot of blessings that are before us. If you don't mind, I'm going to move this mic just over here. This week, I took a couple days and went to see my brother. I want to again say thank you to everyone for praying for him and remembering his family in your prayers. It's a day-to-day thing. He's still a lot to deal with there, but please say thank you to God for all of his blessings, and please remember Chris and his kids as they're still dealing with this loss. While I was there, I had an opportunity to speak with some of the family, and We talked about some superficial things that you always talk about, the chit-chat stuff, but we also had time to talk about some more deeper things, some things that were a little bit more serious, and some things dealing with life, and some things dealing with religion. Now, how many of us kind of get a little nervous talking about religion, especially with our family? Sometimes those discussions may not go the best. You may have tempers flare up. You may have words said. I bet most of us, if not all, have been at a family gathering or a gathering of friends where things happened and everybody got real uncomfortable. I have a couple of memories that just pop right in my head every time I think about that. But, you know, when you think about what it means to be a child of God and challenged on some things by the world and what the Bible says about certain topics, there are some things in Scripture that are easy to understand. The world still fights about them, but they're really not that complicated. Obeying the gospel is not a complicated topic. It really isn't. But, you know, some in the world argue about it for different reasons. Some things are fairly, I think, easy to comprehend. But there are some other questions in Scripture that can become a little bit more difficult for people, unless they take a real hard look, a good study of these things. I got thinking about that as we got into some discussions this week about some of those more difficult things. And we took time and we just sat down and talked. We weren't yelling at one another. We weren't fighting. We listened to one another. We talked about the Bible and what it said. And it was really a good discussion. I enjoyed it immensely. Just having the opportunity to sit down and discuss with someone I want to teach the truth to. And you think about that, and you think about that in the light of the passage that Van read for us. You know, Peter confesses to his audience that there are some things that Paul writes about that are difficult things to understand. There are things that are not easy. They don't have a one study answer to them. You think about some of the hard questions that people ask. Some of them are easy, like I said, but then some of them get more difficult. Some a lot of the world questions musical instruments in worship. You know, and that takes a little bit more study with someone to help them understand God's will in that. Is it okay to worship with a denominational church? We unfortunately have some brethren who've left the church for denomination. We need to have those hard discussions, right? Is there a difference in the roles of men and women in the church? I recently had that discussion with someone. That can be a difficult one. What about this? Is it okay for a Christian to be in the military? That one's less common than it used to be, but I know at one time it split the church over that one question. There are a lot of questions like that. And as a Christian, how are we to respond to those situations? How do we answer difficult questions? Now, I'm not going to spend my time looking at any one of those specific questions, but I really want to look at, in a more general sense, how is it that we should approach difficult, hard discussions like that? You know, you go back to 2 Peter chapter 3. I want you to just notice what Peter writes. He begins by talking about the long suffering of our Savior and how it led to our salvation. And then he gets into a discussion of his brother Paul. And he said that Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him. Well, that's the Holy Spirit working in him. And he wrote things according to the way the Spirit drove him to write. And then he says in verse 16, there are some things in them, in his letters, that are hard to understand. Now that's the Apostle Peter saying that. He's saying there are things that are more difficult to understand. And that takes more study. But then he gives a warning. Notice how he follows it up. He says, which those who are what? Ignorant or unlearned? An unstable twist or wrestle their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. Now, this is a warning that we ought to pay attention to. Do we ever find ourselves wrestling with the scripture or twisting the scripture out of its context, out of its command? It's something I think about a lot in my own study. I always want to be careful to properly interpret Scripture as God intended it. At the same time, I need to understand something about myself. I can make mistakes. And sometimes I can misunderstand things. And so I need to do more study, and I need to be assured that what I'm teaching is the truth. And so I want to spend just a few minutes talking about three things that I really want us to think about in our own study with others in trying to arrive at an understanding of Scripture. Number one, I think it's important that in these discussions that we are aware of our emotions. To be aware that we are emotional beings. You know, God created us that way. And God actually wants us to use our emotions for good. Go in your Bible to Romans 12 and verse 11. Notice his command through the Apostle Paul to the Roman brethren. Romans 12 and verse 11, Paul writes, do not be slothful in zeal. That's our emotional side, isn't it? Our zeal. He says, be fervent. Be on fire in spirit. Serve the Lord. So he gives us two commands there that both deal with our emotions before he ever gets to serving God. And in order for us to serve God properly, our heart needs to be in it. We need to serve God with a fervent zeal. How zealous are you this morning? On a Sunday morning, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to get out of bed and get here and be zealous, I know. But God says, be zealous. We need to be zealous. We need to be passionate about being a child of God and about serving Him. And so we get back to the question of, can my emotions run ahead of me? Can my emotions get in the way of understanding the truth? You go back to the book of Acts in chapter 7. Chapter 7, we have the powerful example of Stephen. Stephen, a man of God, chapter 6 tells us, a man fervent in spirit, a man full of the Holy Spirit, a man full of good works and a good reputation among the people, is put on trial by the Israelites, by the Jewish people, for being a child of God. And so we spend chapter 7 looking at Stephen defending not himself, but the gospel. Now, we're not going to have time to spend looking at the context of his sermon, but I invite you to go back and read that. In a couple of weeks, we'll be there in our Wednesday night study. But in verse number 54, as the Jewish people were listening to what Stephen was saying, I think it's kind of fascinating to get into their mindset. They were hearing Stephen. You notice in verse 54 it says, now when they heard, they were listening, these things, they were enraged. And they ground their teeth at him. You ever been in a discussion with somebody and you started grinding your teeth? I bet you have. Has anybody said things to you that just made you flare up? Your temperature raised. You started maybe to even sweat. You were so angry. Now let me ask you this. When you get that mad at someone, do you listen very well? Are you processing the information? Could your emotion of anger ever get ahead of you? Could it cause you to say something or do something that you knew you shouldn't do? In verse number 57, as he continued, in verse 55 and 56, sitting at the right hand of God, when they hear Stephen say that, verse 57 tells us, they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and rushed together. Their emotions got in way of understanding the will of God. Do you think these individuals were truly looking for the truth? Now, when we get in a discussion about the Word of God, what is our ultimate goal? To be right? I would say their ultimate goal was to be right, but not with God, but to win the argument. We're not in it to win an argument just so we can feel better about ourselves. That should never be the end goal of a discussion about the Word of God. The end goal ought to be right with God, to know and understand the truth. And yet their emotions, their anger towards Stephen got in the way of them understanding. It can get in our way too. I'm not saying this is easy. I've sat there. I've listened to people say false things, gotten angry about it, and it's made it very difficult for me to listen. But if we're ever going to arrive at an understanding of truth, we need to make sure we're in control of our emotions and they're not in control of us. Discussing hard things can be an emotional task. Sitting down with someone who is living in sin can be a very emotional task. We need to do our best not allow our emotions to run the discussion, but to let the Word of God speak as it should. You go back to Romans 12 and verse 16, a little bit later in that same context, you notice how Paul goes, what he goes on to say there. Romans 12 and verse 16, live in harmony with one another. That means even when you're having a hard talk, you need to try to live in harmony. Do not be haughty. Understand, you could be wrong. Sometimes we feel like we're right and they're wrong. And we go into that, into a discussion with that mindset. I think we've entered into a wrong mindset. We need to understand, I could be wrong. Let's have an honest discussion of this. Why are we ever afraid of the truth? The truth will win out. Don't be haughty. Don't believe you have all the answers. But associate with the lowly. And then notice as he ends verse 16, never be wise in your own sight. Let the wisdom of God speak. So number one, be aware of your emotions. I'm not saying for us to be unemotional creatures. We are emotional. But we need to be in control of our emotions and not allow them to control us. The second thing I would say in this kind of discussion is beware of what man says. Be leery of what man says. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is in a discussion about the end times. He's asked about what the sign of the times will be. In Matthew 24 and verse 4, he makes this statement. And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray." Jesus wanted them to understand that men will come up with all kinds of fairy tales about the end times. They will disrupt, they will teach falsely ideas about the Messiah. He goes on in the same context to talk about there will be other Christs that will arise. But they're not really the Christ. He is the Christ. Jesus knew even all the way back there that there would be men and women who would arise who would teach falsely about the second coming of Christ. He knew there would be false doctrines about that. And so he says, be careful to not be led astray by the false doctrines of men. There's something we need to understand about ourselves and about those who teach us. Any of us can misunderstand. Any of us can be wrong. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, many have heard this, but the Proverbs writer says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The thing about mankind is we get it wrong over and over and over again. The only thing that stands the test of time is God. Even sincere men can be wrong. We can sit at home and we can listen to the radio or we can turn on the television or we can go online and we can see all kinds of individuals teaching false doctrine. Now, it can be very easy for us sometimes to destroy those people's integrity and character, but the reality is, individuals believe in what they're teaching. Believe that what they're saying is the correct thing, but here's the reality is, just because I believe it doesn't make it right. Everything we hear must be judged against the ultimate standard, the standard of truth. Even sincere individuals can be wrong. Even members of the church can be wrong. Sometimes. The thing that will never be wrong is the Word of God. And so we must stand on God's side in these issues. We must listen to Him. In John's second letter, 2 John chapter 1, I want you to notice something that John wrote to his readers. 2 John chapter 1, verse 9, he says, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. We must be careful to get ahead of the Word of God, not to go beyond what God has asked for or commanded or disallowed. We must be careful to stand up for His Word and His truth and not what we believe it should be. I think there's a real danger for us sometimes to put up hedges where God hasn't put them. And I think we have to be very careful about making tradition the command of God. The Israelites had done that. And Jesus condemned them because they teach in vain the commandments of men. Traditions of men as the commandments of God. We don't want to have vain or useless worship. We want our worship to be something that pleases God. We want our service to be something that pleases God. If we are to do that, we should listen to God rather than to men. The last thing I'll say here is to be careful to listen to what God has to say. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and I want to begin at verse number 43. John 8, verse 43, he says, "Why do you not understand what I say?" We have trouble with that sometimes. And maybe it means we need to study more. But sometimes Jesus says, he goes on here, he says, "It is because you cannot bear my word, or you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." You know, one of the most perplexing things for me as a child of God is to sit down with someone, to show them clearly from Scripture what the truth is, and then to have them yet still continue to believe a false idea or not to obey the gospel. And it's one of the hardest things that I deal with individuals. Reality is sometimes people just don't want to listen to the truth. We must not be like that. We must be humble enough to hear the Word of God, to listen to whatever it tells us, even when it proves that we stand in error. We can be wrong. The Word of God never and is never wrong. John writes again in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, he says, "And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments." How do we know that we are a disciple of God? How do we know we are a student of the Bible? It's when we keep his commandments. Verse number 4, he says, 2 John 2 and verse 4, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him." To be a disciple of God means that I must adhere to what he has commanded. Not what man's commanded, but what God has commanded. That's why Paul will write in Romans 10 and verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the word of Christ. If I want to have true faith, a faith based on truth, I must be willing to hear the word of God. And I'll leave you with this one final scripture. John chapter 8. In a discussion of what is truth, Jesus says, John 8 and verse 31, "So Jesus said to the disciples who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" False doctrine cannot set us free. Only the truth can. The only way that you and I can arrive at truth is looking at God, or looking to God and to his word. God is the essence of what it means to be truth. When we face a difficult discussion, maybe in our own lives or with someone else, we need to be aware of our emotions and to keep them in check. Even when the other person gets very emotional, we must not allow our emotions to run the show. Our emotions will only get in the way of understanding the Word of God if we allow them to control us. We must be aware that men can be deceived. Men can misunderstand. Adam and Eve were given one command of "thou shalt not," and Eve got confused on that one command. We can get confused easily. And so we must always be careful to listen to what God has to say on the matter. When I discuss with someone about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, I need to look to the Word of God. I don't really need to look at what man tells me the truth is on the topic. When I'm discussing with someone what it means to be a disciple of God and how I must obey the gospel, what man has to say is really not that important, only the Word of God. When I'm talking about what it means to worship God, I need to look to the Word of God. I don't need to look to man's designs on what worship ought to be. With any and every one of these, God has the answer. And we must look to him. Jesus says in John 8:32, "The truth will set you free." Are you free? Are you free of your sin? I know this is not the most conducive environment to people coming forward. I'm not going to ask for that. But if you need help, if you need prayer, love to pray with you, to help in any way that we can. If you want to study about the gospel and what it means for you to obey, we'd love to take time to do that. Again, it's so good to be here and to be with you. Thank you so much for coming to worship God. As I close out this portion, let us bow for a word of prayer. Almighty God and Father above, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you, Father, for your word, for the Bible, which is the true standard, which is our guide to understanding the truths in regard to spiritual matters, to matters of our world, and to guide us in understanding of what you want us to do and to be. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you so much for that sacrifice that was paid for us. Father, may we always look to him and to his words. Father, all these things we ask in his holy and precious name. Amen.